I knock softly on the door, hoping against hope that maybe Miss Westmacott won't be there. But almost immediately, I hear an overeager, "Yes?" I've never had the displeasure of being inside Westmacott's office before, but I've heard rumors. When I push the door open, I see all of them are true. She truly does have her name spelled out in gigantic gold sparkly letters on the wall behind her desk. There really is a bulletin board on the wall called the Feelings Board. And that corner that everyone talks about, the one set up with the beanbag so she can have jam sessions with students, that's a real thing too. No wonder Brooke didn't want her dad to marry this lady. "Hello," she cries. "Come in." She waves me in and I comply, mostly because I don't have a choice. "Shall we sit over there?" She motions to the beanbags. No. My knees are bad. I lie. There's no way I'm sitting on a beanbag. The chair is fine. I take a seat before she can protest. After a moment's hesitation, she slides into her chair, folds her hands on the desk, and leans forward. "We're glad to have you back, Alice." She's wearing a tunic with a bunch of weird shapes glued around the neckline and has her brown hair pushed back with a headband. Not a cool headband, mind you, but one of those thick ones that I've seen in pictures of people from the 1990s. "We know things have been rough over the past few months." She makes a sympathetic face and my stomach turns. I know what's coming. "We all thought it would be best if you and I had some time to chat." She raises her eyebrows like it's a question, but I know it's not a question. I know I don't have a choice. "We can just jam, talk about how things are going, how school's treating you, stuff like that," she smiles. "Uh-huh," is the best I can manage in reply. She ignores my lack of enthusiasm and continues. "To get started, let's talk about Brooke and Steve. They're dating. How are you dealing with it? Clearly, it hasn't been easy on you." Jesus, she's really going there? She's the first person to directly mention the two of them to me since everything happened. Brooke was my best friend since birth, so I always knew she wasn't the perfect angel she would have you believe. Two words, Cole Fielding. I used to appreciate it. You need a little spice to keep things interesting. But I never expected her to steal my boyfriend right out from under my nose. Steve and I started dating my sophomore year, his junior, when he became the breakout star on the varsity basketball team. He'd always been in the background before that, spending a lot of his time at training camps that his mom worked two jobs to afford. But I guess they paid off, because one day, I heard these girls talking about him in the bathroom, about how random it was that some kid no one had ever heard of was carrying the team. And I knew I had to have him. We started dating a few weeks later. I gave him popularity, a social life, access to my world. And what did he give me in return? He dumped me. So, back in June, after he told me he wanted to break up because I was too bossy, rude, I went to Egypt with my mom to visit the set of some movie she was working on. My dad was out of town working, like he is 99% of the time, and Brenda's first grandchild was due, and she went down to San Diego for that. So it was either go with my mom or mope around the house alone. I thought it would be a good distraction. Maybe make Steve miss me, and that while I was gone, I could figure out how to patch things up with him. Also, if I'm going to be totally honest, which I am usually not about feelings, I thought maybe my mom and I could have, you know, fun together. Well, to no one's great surprise, it ended up being yet another trip where she worked 24 hours a day and I sat in a hotel room alone. Thank God for room service and the Agatha Christie novels I found in the lounge. Let's just say that my mom and I didn't bond, but Brooke and Steve certainly did.